You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. Today's message comes from lead pastor Andy Hunt. We pray that it encourages you in your faith journey.
The title of my message today, if you're writing notes, it might be a strange title, but it might make more sense, is this. It is Prayer as Pie. Prayer as Pie, the beginnings of a holistic prayer life. And we're going to talk about prayer today. I hope seeing that pie doesn't make y'all too hungry and ready to move out of here and eat some today. But this is the title. We're going to look at prayer, but perhaps not from the angle that you might have been taught about before. And I understand that as we come to prayer in church and we talk about prayer, a lot of us, we would say, man, I've heard about this. I know about prayer. Andy, I actually pray, so you don't need to talk about this. But let's be honest, like prayer, though it is one of the most important things, most important actions for us as believers, it can be one of the hardest things for us to actually put into practice on a regular basis in our lives. Prayer is so important that it's one of the first things that we invite people to do when they become a follower of Jesus. Prayer is probably out of three key things with regard to our growth in our walk with God. Prayer, reading of the Word, and worship is one of those. Every morning as a staff team here at church, we pray to start the day. And I'm sure in some of your organizations, the same thing would happen. We pray. We have a list of prayer requests and we go through those. Every Sunday morning, a list of prayer requests from our church goes out to a prayer network team who prays for those prayer requests. And if you've got a prayer request, you can submit that. It'll go out to the team. If you want to be on the team and pray every week for these prayer requests, you can do that as well. On the website, there's a spot called prayer, which you can sign up to that. Before church every Sunday, we have a prayer meeting at 9:30 in the morning. Everyone is welcome to that. Every day, there are thousands upon thousands of prayers that are prayed by our congregation alone, every single one of them heard by God. But as regular as prayer actually is, as important it is, if I were to ask for a show of hands in the room today, for you to say, I understand that prayer is important and I'm keen to do more, actually there's room for improvement in my prayer life. If I was to ask for a show of hands, if you would acknowledge that, I don't know. I would suspect that it would be the majority of people here would say, I reckon there's room for improvement for me in my prayer life. In fact, some people would probably put two hands up straight away. I know there is room for improvement here. Why? Why is prayer difficult? Because like we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, there is a battle that always goes on in our flesh. Prayer can be hard because our flesh fights us. It's so easy to feel that there are so many more important things that we can do with our time than to stop and to pray. I was thinking about this before. If we were to say, do you pray often? And there would be some people that would say, yeah, I actually pray often. And I pray often while I'm doing other things. I pray while I'm mowing the grass. I pray while I'm cleaning the house. I pray while I'm driving somewhere. I pray while I'm doing something else. And that's great, and we should continue to do that. But how often do we take the time, put it aside to pray and only to pray? That is our primary reason for this time right now, is to spend it with the Lord in prayer. It's a challenge. Understand also that some people struggle with prayer because they may have been discouraged in the past. Maybe they've been disappointed. Maybe they would say things like, I've tried, I've been diligent, I've fasted, I've prayed for something, but the circumstances didn't change. And so prayer can be hard because it's been tainted by having expectations that were not met. But for some, the struggle exists simply because they don't know how to pray. And my hope is that today, by the end of the message, you'll be encouraged in this area and equipped as we look at some prayer models. Do an exercise with me at the moment. Analyze your own prayer life. What does your prayer life mostly consists of currently? If you think about the things that you're regularly praying around, about, for, what does it exist about? And I think that the majority of us would say I'm praying for something. Whatever that is, I'm praying for something. It's a request portion that takes up the majority of our prayer time. God, help me with this. Give me guidance on that. Heal me of this, Lord. I need guidance in this way of life. Or save that person. Or save my family member, whatever it is. And none of these requests are bad. But prayer, we need to know this straight off the bat. Prayer is about so much more than just requests. So let's start at the start. What is prayer? It's talking to God, essentially. It's communicating with Him, our Heavenly Father. And it's also that listening portion, listening to Him. Secondly, it's asking God to do what only He can do in a situation or in our lives. I'm sure we've all had an experience where we come to the point where we are trying to overcome something, and we as hard as we can, gripping the steering wheel of our lives, and then we look up one day and we acknowledge the fact that, man, I really do not have control. This is, whatever the steering wheel is, it's not true because I do not have control. Prayer acknowledges that God is sovereign and helps us submit to Him. And the third thing, what prayer is it prayer helps us align ourselves with the purposes of God. Jesus does this in His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours. Align ourselves with the purposes of God. So then why? Why do we pray? Number one, it honors God when we pray. It honors God when we acknowledge our full dependency on Him. Within our human nature, and interestingly, it's very, very hard for the majority of people to actually reach out for help. If you're going through financial difficulty, for example, it's very hard to say to someone, hey, we're really struggling here. Are you able to help? For us, sometimes we're going through medical issues or we've had an accident or whatever it is, and we can go about repairing everything and trying to get it all in place before telling anyone because it's so hard for us to ask for help. We might pray about our needs, but for some reason it feels wrong to us to ask other people for help. It feels uncomfortable. But to God, when our weakness and our need is brought to Him, He loves it. He loves it because He knows there is so much greater blessing for us to be found in proximity to Him than simply receiving what He has to provide for us. The way that I have it in my notes, the way I said it is presence over presence. The presence of God, His proximity, the knowledge that we are with Him over the presence that He provides, the gifts that He gives us, presence over presence. It honors God. Why else prayer? It's helpful. We do know that God answers prayer. And if we were to ask, open the mic, there would be hundreds of testimonies within our church of where God has done what only He can do in a situation. There's no explanation but Him. I want to read from James 5, chapter 13 to 18, about this encouragement, this for all of us today when it comes to prayer. We could all pray more. James 5, I've got it on the screen. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Then let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. There's so much more to that. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And gives us an example. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Prayer changes things. It's something that God has given us as we partner with Him to see His will done on the earth. And we're going to talk about this, that when it comes to prayer and when it comes to requests and it comes to the will of God. And Matt spoke about this brilliantly towards the start of the year, this relationship between the will of God and our prayers being answered. We know this. We know that prayer changes things. And this is a challenge today. We know this and we believe this. But do we really know this? And do we really believe this? It's one thing to say, yeah, I believe that prayers are answered. But as we pray, Do we actually believe that God can answer the prayers that we are praying to him? This is a challenge, and we can fall into it, especially if what we've been asking for a long time we haven't seen. Do we believe and still believe that God answers prayer? And the third part about why prayer is because prayer changes us. Not only does prayer work, but prayer changes us. It changes things, but it also must change us. And I'll submit to you this statement today. That when it comes to your prayer life, if prayer is not changing you, then perhaps you need to change the way that you're praying. Because prayer needs to change us. And so why do we pray? And there's a couple of different categories when it comes to the things that we pray. It's not just requests, like I said. And I've got this, here comes the pie. Pie chart of different aspects of our prayer life. And so if we start at the top, adoration is a part of our prayer. Confession is a part of our prayer. Thanksgiving, a part of our prayer time. Supplication, this is the request portion. We have intercessory prayer. We have spiritual warfare, intercession, praying on the behalf of someone else, for someone else. Spiritual warfare, fighting the battle, acknowledging that we are in a spiritual battle as well as physical. The contemplative, this is where we take the time to actually hear from God, to listen to him. And then corporate prayer, where we come together for prayer. When we come together at church for prayer, but also for prayer meetings and those types of things. But unfortunately, if we put up the next slide, if we're not careful, this is kind of what our prayer life can actually look like. Whereas we've put all these other little things into little slivers, and perhaps some of them, we touch base with them from time to time as needs arise. But the rest of it comes to, oh God, I come to you with requests. And again, I'm not saying that requests are not what God encourages us to come with, but we just want to make sure that the prayer pie for us isn't just one large cherry pie of requests. That's not the big portion, the majority of the time. Now again, we acknowledge, if we're sitting here today, we acknowledge that there are some seasons where there is a need that is so strong that the majority of our prayer time is given towards that. But we need to make sure we have a holistic approach to God. Why? Because this helps us to grow in our relationship with him. It helps us to acknowledge him as Lord over all. And so to do this, there are a number of different models that we can see of prayer in the Bible. These models or patterns are ones that we can follow. You don't need to think that when it comes to your prayer time, every time you just need to make it up off the top of your head as you pray. There are patterns in the Word. And there are a number I want to show you today. I'm hoping to get through three. We might only get through two. But the first one we're going to start with, who has a guess of what the first model prayer that we're going to look at today is? What would it be? The Lord's Prayer, 100%. Good job. You know. The Lord's Prayer. And I don't want to focus too heavily on this. We've done that before in sermons, and it's a whole series in itself. But we absolutely need to start here. The Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches from in Matthew 6, and you can turn to it. Turn to Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13. The Lord's Prayer, interestingly, last year was being fought to be removed from the Victorian Parliament. It is read every day in the Victorian government, and it was being fought again to have that removed. Petition was signed, and it has been reinstated. But when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, what we're going to see is it's not just about the reciting of these words, but it is what it is doing in our hearts, the heart that it comes from that matters. Can I encourage you to continue to pray for our government? This is that requests portion. Maybe we need to give a bit more of a sliver to praying for our government, praying for our leaders, that even as they listen to the Lord's Prayer, which it is mandate for them to be there while it's spoken, that something would change in their hearts. The Holy Spirit would penetrate the hard shell of their hearts, and that they would just fall on their knees before the living God. At the time that Jesus gives this, the Lord's Prayer, prayer itself is an absolute pillar of Jewish piety. The greater and the more brilliant the prayers that were prayed, it was supposed to point to the greater evidence of their obedience, their strict obedience to the law. And it was very common for these public prayers to happen in the mornings, in the afternoons, and in the evenings. And there were many rote prayers that were memorized out of the Torah that Jewish people would recite at these different times and still do today. This is not bad. Wasn't bad, isn't bad. In fact, memorizing prayers like this is even good for us today. But the disciples, as they ask Jesus, they don't ask him when it comes to this to give us another prayer to pray. They say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus says this. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Someone needs to know that already today. Your Father already knows what you need before you even ask him. And then he says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In your Bible in front of you, if you've got New King James, you might have the extra that comes. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Interesting that that's not in all the different translations. Something for another day. The point Jesus is making prior to giving us the model, this pattern, is that it's not about the eloquence of the words with which we pray, which is great news if you are new to the faith. You might hear Matt come up and pray, or one of the team, or you're in a prayer meeting and someone prays this amazing prayer, and you're like, man, if only I had the words to pray like that. It is not about the words that you use, the eloquence of those. It comes out of the heart. As you run through each line of the Lord's Prayer, you get another part of the prayer pie, the holistic way to pray. So the first model, the Lord's Prayer. This is our foundation. No model should contradict or cut across this, as it's what Jesus gives. And I would encourage you, if after today, after the message, you think, man, I really want to grow when it comes to my prayer life, print yourself a copy of the Lord's Prayer and put it in front of you as you pray each morning. Make your way through each line, reflect, meditate on what they actually mean. And you will be, again, having that holistic way of praying. I will give you this second one. The second one I want to talk about is, I've got it all crossed out in my notes, but it's coming out. So the second one I want to talk about is Paul's prayer. Colossians 1. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians is a brilliant book. It is 4 chapters and it is so rich. And in this book, Paul is writing to this church in Colossae, which probably started by his own ministry about 3 years earlier than what we're about to read. And this group of believers are doing amazingly well, brilliantly. And he doesn't come with a warning to them, like he does in some of his other letters. He doesn't say he's praying for all the needs that they have requested, because things are going great. In these verses, we're going to find 4 things that when we pray for our brothers and sisters, we can use these as a template, as a format for prayer for them. And so we're going to start in verse number 9. I don't even think I have the slides for these, so you're going to have to read it in your Bibles in front of you. Colossians chapter 1. I'll give you another second to get it out if you want. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 14. Prayer for the believers. This is the second part. This is prayer for believers. And in verse 9, he says this, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And the first point is this: if there is a time in your prayer time where you can put aside to pray for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, here is a way to do that. And I would encourage you to put that in there. Again, prayer can so much be about us and what we need. Let's be others focused in this and pray for fellow saints, for our brothers and sisters. And Paul does this here. And the first point, what he says here is I want to pray that they would know the will of God. that they would have a hunger for his word. When you are praying for people that are sitting next to you right now, pray that they would develop a greater hunger for the word of God, of knowledge of him, knowing his will. Pray for passion in them. That's what I continue to pray for our church. A hunger not just to know the Bible more, but to know God more. That we would be a people who the world ends up looking to for wisdom because we have first received it from our Father. Pray that they would know the will of God. As we read on, verse 10, Paul says, "So, why? So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." The second thing we want to pray for our brothers and sisters is that they would continue to walk with the Lord, a life that is pleasing to him. That their life would go from knowledge to action, to a walk with God. That they would bear fruit through that action. That they would increase then in the knowledge of God all the more. That they would live a life that pleases God. Verse 11, he says, "Being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy." That our fellow believers would be warriors for God. That they would continue to fight. That it would be God's strength and his joy given to them that would sustain them over the long haul. Perhaps you know someone within your world that you've spoken to someone and you would say, "Man, they're just a bit shaky at the moment. I don't know where they're sitting. Maybe circumstances have been heavy on them. Maybe you can just sense the cracks beginning to form." Pray this for them, that they would rely on God's strength and his joy, and that endurance would remain over the long haul. In verse 12, we read on, it says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." As you pray, pray that they would acknowledge God and give worship. They would worship him for that which they know. This model is important for us as we pray for our fellow believers, not just for their needs, but for their ongoing good. And I encourage you to pop the images of the people. Like, if you take a look to your left and look to your right, if you know who's sitting behind you, generally most people in church sit in the same spot every week. You know the people who sit around you. You may know their names. Pray for them this week. Pray along the lines of Colossians 1 and Paul's prayer to the fellow believers. Lift them up in your prayer times and allow a testimony of what God has been doing in their lives be encouraging to you as you do so. All right, and the third model is this. This is called the Acts Prayer Model. Has anyone heard of the Acts Prayer Model before? Anyone? One, two, a couple of people. And this is a tool that you can use personally, but for parents with kids, this is a brilliant way that you can give them a holistic approach to prayer. If kids are anything like mine, their tendency is, "God, I thank you for..." Or no, they don't even say that. "God, I pray for my knee that it got a bruise today, and I pray for this, and I pray for that. And I pray for that person who was sick in my class today, that they would get better. Amen." That's it. Having them, encouraging them towards an understanding of what prayer actually is can be done through this model. And so this is partly an application of the Lord's Prayer. Easy for you to remember, easy for you to teach others. The four elements of this model date back to the 3rd century and have been used by Christians for centuries as part of their daily prayer life. And ACTS actually is an acronym. It stands for these four areas. A, adoration. C, confession. T, thanksgiving. And S, supplication. 4 out of the 8 that we used at the start for that pie chart. And we're going to start with that letter A. And again, I would encourage you to take notes on this. This is designed to be a takeaway for you. Get your phone out, get whatever you can and scribble it down. Unless your memory is amazing, then you'll just have it all anyway. But if it's me, I'm writing every single word down. This is adoration. This is the first part, if you stick that first A up for us. A, adoration. We praise and adore God for who he is and for what he's like. Before we get to for what he has done, for who he is, for what he's like, for his character, we come and we adore God. We praise him. God himself is worthy of all of our praise. And this is the start of the Lord's Prayer right here. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is this beautiful reality in every moment that you come to the God of the whole universe in prayer. We come to him knowing our dirty, our sinful state, our fragility, how unworthy we are. The beautiful reality is that the God of the universe invites us to come and to sit with him and to communicate with him. This needs to be constant revelation for us. And it comes from stepping into that space with the A. God, I am here first and foremost to adore you, for you are worthy. This is our personal prayer time, beginning right here. What God is this? That this is what he has invited us into, that he would care for time with us. That is the truth of the character of our Heavenly Father, is that he loves time with you, that he is never too busy for you to grasp his attention, nor does he have too many things going on in his life that he doesn't know the most minor of details in yours. And it's with this knowledge we come in adoration. I want to give you a scripture to help you if you're praying around this adoration portion each morning. It's Psalm 95, verses 1 to 6. Psalm 95 says, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." How exciting that we get to come to the Lord and acknowledge him in that way. I hope each and every day, church. Does anyone see that the way that I'm seeing it this morning? I don't know. Come on. Come on. Come on. We come with adoration. A, adoration. Second one is this. C, we come with this portion of the pie chart of our prayer life in confession. In the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us, Lord God, our sins, as we forgive others who have sinned against us." Coming to God to confess our sins is important for two reasons. Firstly, when you come and you acknowledge to him out loud what's going on in your life and the sins that are there, it stops them from becoming a habit pattern in our lives that we just settle with. If you don't acknowledge it, if you don't talk about it, it's so much easier to dismiss it. And you can go on for decades having dismissed this sin in our lives, and we know it needs to be worked out, but it still sits there. If we do not allow the conviction of our sin by the Holy Spirit come out in repentance, then we are much more likely to remain in it. And repentance begins with confession. And secondly, when we confess our sins to God, we remember at that time what Jesus actually did for us. We glorify him in the process. We thank God for his forgiveness. I realize that for some people, this area of confession can be difficult, even to the point of fear. I actually fear confessing my sins, that if I say it out loud or if I acknowledge it to God, then I'm going to receive a punishment for it. I remember when I moved out of home, when Cass and I got married and we were moving furniture out, and I had, Pete was over at my house and we were taking it out of the upstairs of my parents' house, and we had a desk. I had a desk that had a big return, and it was, you know, probably, I don't know, it was a relatively large desk. And so we'd flip the desk up onto its end, and it was flat there and a long straight bit up. And we're like, all right, let's get this. We'll get this downstairs. And so he grabs that side, I grab that side. And what do? We just go straight up like that. And then plaster dust starts falling on our heads because we put a hole straight in the roof. Wasn't fun. My dad fixed that up, thankfully. But I tell you what, when you put a hole in the wall, the last thing you want to do is go and confess what you have done to your father or to anyone for that matter. And so there's an acknowledgement when it comes to confessing our sins to the Lord. Man, I'm fearful because I'm fearful of what punishment or what consequences might be coming my way if I actually confess that. There can also be this belief that if no one knows about it, maybe I think I've got away with it, or maybe it's under control in my life. It's not to do with anyone else. I'll bury it, and that's the best thing to do. And we say, well, if it's a secret sin, and so it's something that's just there and it doesn't need to be confessed. But the truth is, there is no such thing as a secret sin. None. You may think that you're the only person that knows about it, but God has seen it. God knows it. Hebrews 4:13 says this, "And no creature is hidden from his sight. All are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." So when you come in that time of prayer and confess your sin to God, you are not telling him anything he doesn't know already. It's the work that confession does in us to then glorify Jesus for the forgiveness that we find that is the power in that confession. Aaron last week in his message spoke from Hebrews 12, and he spoke about throwing off the weight, throwing off the sin that so easily entangles us. It was about violently getting it off us. Phil came up and said he had a word. He thought he had a word for the church today. It was about people who had had a basket of fruit in front of them. And this week there's rotten, there's nasty fruit in there, but had found themselves just partaking of that rotten fruit, of that sinful behavior. Know that God has for you a better way. You do not need, fulfillment is not found in the, sounds wrong, the enjoyment of rotten fruit, but that's what it is. It's the enjoyment of rotten fruit. Fulfillment is found in the beauty of the fruit that God gives us to sustain us, to fill us, the truth of his word, the good things that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago for us to meditate and consider, partake of that fruit. Our prayer time is the beginning of this repentance process. But the good news is that even though God knows it all, 1 John 1:9 says this, this is the promise, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession, that our time of confession with the Lord is a positive thing. We walk out of that clean, free, to continue on by the blood of Jesus Christ. Which brilliantly leads us onto the T in Acts. T being thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Psalm 104 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name." 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Give thanks in all circumstances. So, when it comes back to, again, the picture of the different parts of our prayer life, I acknowledge the fact that there are seasons in our life where that can get, it's all the request or it's all something else in there. Give thanks in all circumstances. There is no day that exists for us, there is no circumstance that we can experience where thanksgiving to God is not appropriate. Give thanks in all circumstances. Pray without ceasing, because it does something in us when we have hearts of gratitude. We need to be reminded today that coming to God with gratitude and thanksgiving is not only dependent on our circumstances. And you might ask the question, why do I give thanks when I haven't yet seen an answer to prayer, if that's what I'm praying for? The answer is because prayer isn't just about the answer. And I hope you're seeing that today. We give thanks to God, what for? What do you have to give thanks to God for today? The very air that we breathe. The fact that today might be a day that we have to turn the cooler on. Praise God for that. For the fact that He has called us to know Him. I thank you through all circumstances because I know you through all circumstances. For the gift of His word and truth to us. Every morning when I step out of my car and I walk in here to the church office, I give thanks to God for the ability that He's given me to serve Him and to serve our church. Whatever the, and no matter whether it's a tough day coming or not, whatever your circumstances, when you know Jesus, there is always much to be thankful for. Where adoration is thanking God for who He is, thanksgiving is thanking God for what He has done. And the final one is this, is supplication. Supplication. Tommy, coming up, man. We're going to close after this. Supplication. Give us today our daily bread. Supplication is earnestly asking of the Lord for yourself on behalf of others. And this is the large area of the pie chart. And to be honest, this is where we find ourselves a lot of the time because our needs are in front of us and they shout loudly every single day. The Bible promises that God not only hears our requests, but is faithful to supply all of our needs. After all, we just read, He knows our needs even before we bring them. And as we grow in our relationship with God, I believe this area of our prayer life, it matures incredibly, this area of supplication, because our desires shift and change as we grow in our relationship with God. And if our desires shift and change, then our prayer life shifts and change. Our requests change and become more and more in line with God's will for us. This is how we see more and more prayers answered in our lives, because we end up praying more and more in line with God's will for them. Very early on when I was thinking about this message, I had this picture and I was hopeful to bring a physical version of this up onto the stage, but couldn't work it out. But I've got an image instead. And this image came into my mind of the vending machine. I didn't have one that looked exactly like this. But sometimes if supplication, if request becomes a major part of our life, for whatever reason, maybe it's tough for you. Maybe life is tough. Maybe there's some real answers to prayer that you need. And sometimes if we're not careful, we come to that portion of our prayer life treating God like this. God, you're just the vending machine. I come to you when I have a need and I hit D5 and I reach down. God, why isn't it coming? Why haven't I got what I asked for? D5 again. We give it a bit of a nudge. We stand back and go, what's it going on? D5. Nothing. And we treat our answers to prayer like they're just going to pop out the bottom every time we come to God. May we walk as far away as we can in our prayer lives of letting God become like a vending machine in our own prayer life. And I know that this is like you might say, Andy, it's ludicrous to say that I treat God like this. It's ludicrous. I cannot do that. But if we were to analyze our prayer life, if we were to analyze the time that we spend in supplication, the time that we're just coming and we're pressing that button, if we were to analyze it, are we actually more seeing God in this way? You can take that down. Thanks, guys. This is what we as a church and as a group of Christ followers want to make sure it's not all about when we pray. God, please do this, please do that. But, and again, there's balance in this, but we are still called to ask. We are still called to request. We are still called to believe in faith in the God that answers prayers and bring them to Him. 1 John 5:14-15. It says, and this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, then we know that we have the requests that we've asked for of Him. Scripture is full of examples of supplication. Jesus Himself encourages us to ask the Father. All we need to do is read about church history and those who have gone before us. I want to tell you a story as we close and as we prepare to take communion. And perhaps, welcome team, if you could hand out the elements to that, that'll be great, and we'll close taking communion. I want to give you an example of someone who lived their life in this way. And George Mueller. George Mueller was well known for his ministry, and this is a photo of him up on the screen. Known for his ministry to orphans in Bristol, England through the 1800s. He ran orphanages caring for thousands of children, all without ever asking anyone other than God for money or for food. He believed, love this line, he believed that prayer was the only fundraising tool that he needed. One morning, the house mother came to him and was quite distressed, and she said, Mr. Mueller, the children are dressed and ready for school, but there's no food for breakfast. And Mueller smiled calmly and he said, take the 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at the tables. He joined them and said, children, you know, we must be in time for school. Then he lifted his hands and prayed, Father, we thank you for the food that you were going to give us. There was nothing on the tables, no bread, no milk. But before he even said amen, there was a knock on the door, and the baker stood there with his hat in his hand. He said, Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. I felt God telling me that you would need bread this morning. So I got up at 2 a.m. and I baked 3 batches. May I bring them in? Moments later, another knock. Who was it? It was the milkman. The milkman, his cart had broken down outside the orphanage, and he said, Mr. Mueller, my milk will spoil before I can fix that wheel. Could the children use it this morning? That morning, all the children eat their bread and they have their milk, enough for all. And there are books of these stories from this man, but so many others, that just point to a God who hears our hearts, who hears our requests as we make them known to God. We need to know that prayer works. But for us today, as we receive that and we hear the message, balance still remains. If the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gives us as a model isn't all about requesting from the Father, then ours shouldn't be either. So I hope that as you go out of this place, that you have an inspiration in some way to increase in your prayer life. And I hope these models give you some tools to do that. But please don't just be enthusiastic. Be persistent. Persistence is what matters, not the enthusiasm. See the parable of the persistent widow in the first half of Luke 18. Great point to this. And Scripture calls us for steady and persistent prayer, not just a burst, but a bubbling for the rest of our lives. And we also need to know and be careful of this, because pride in our lives can lead to prayerlessness. If prayer is rare for you, that it could be that your reliance has turned to yourself instead of to God. A humble heart leads to an authentic prayer life. Lastly, pray the full pie. Be holistic in your prayer life. All these different things. And so in conclusion, as we take communion together, I just want to give you an opportunity to put this in place. And if we go to that last slide, just with these four, that we begin with adoration. We begin with adoration. It has to. As we take the blood of Christ, the elements, the blood and the body of Jesus, as we look at the cross, as we remember what He has done, let us come to Him in adoration. Thank Him for who He is. John 3:16, Many of us know it well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but will have eternal life. We adore him. We confess our sin to him. We repent this morning. What has gone on this week? We turn from it and we walk towards him. You are forgiven. The blood and the biscuit that we hold are the reminder of that. Take a moment to dwell on that forgiveness. That he has lifted you out of death. And then flow that into thanksgiving for what he has done, both in the forgiveness of the sin and the blessings that we receive, the air that we breathe, peace that we experience, and then supplication. If there are requests, no doubt we all have many, that we bring them to the Lord. Whatever we ask in his will be given gladly by him. So I want to just leave this up, and we're going to take a few minutes right now. Just allow you to work through those, to spend some time in prayer yourself, and then we'll come back and I'll pray. Heavenly Father, God of the universe, Lord over everything, Lord over our hearts, we exalt you, we magnify you, we lift you up, Lord. Lord, we come to you today, each in our own way, understanding that we are not perfect. And whether it's sins that we continue to commit, or it's sinful in the way that our priority system is in our lives, Lord, we confess that to you today. We repent. We run towards you. Jesus, we are so thankful for your obedience to the Father, for your love for us. We are thankful for the gift of salvation, for the gift of relationship. We are thankful for the blessings that we experience, Lord. Help us to live lives of gratitude, giving thanks in all circumstances. And Lord, as we come to you, I pray that if the circumstances that someone is facing right now are so difficult, it seems like there is nothing to be thankful for in there, that Lord, you would open their eyes to see that you are with them. And that is the number one thing to be grateful for. Your presence in our lives. Lord, we pray, I pray that as we go out of this place today, we pray for our prayer lives. Lord, I pray that as we make decisions not to just pray on the back of other things that we're doing, but as we put time aside to speak with you, to adore you, to give thanks to you. Lord God, that you would stir our hearts for yourself even more. Father, that we would see those answers to prayer, those miracles come in people's lives, and from there we would give you all the glory. Amen. Amen, church. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.